Hi, everybody. Welcome to Redwood. Hello to those of you tuning in online. My name is Melissa, one of the pastors here. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. We have started this sermon series, and he told them a story based on the stories that Jesus told his followers. And the purpose of these stories was so that those people who were listening to them would have their eyes opened and their ears unplugged so that they would see the reality of the kingdom of God right before them. The kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God right here in our midst, right now, for everyone to see. As I was preparing for the message today, I checked out the Bible Project podcast on the parables. There's a series of 7 podcasts and a video. We put a link on our website, redwoodpark.ca/viewpoint, if you want to do a bit of a deeper dive. But in case you don't, I'm going to borrow an illustration from episode 1 to open up this message today. So imagine with me that you are a farmer in the first century in Israel. Farming was traditionally men's work, so you are a typical Jewish male. You are steeped in the stories of your people and the land of your people. You know that you are living in the land that God promised your ancestors. And so as you stand in your doorway looking out across your fields, you know that you're looking at the same land that your father was looking at and that your grandfather was looking at. And all of your relatives were looking at before you. This land is a part of who you are. But the story of your people is a part of who you are too. You are a good Jewish man. You've been going to synagogue your entire life. You've been listening to the stories told by the rabbis. You know all about Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David and all of the prophets, and you've been following all of the religious laws and the customs. You're a good husband, you're a good father. But today, you're standing at your doorway and you're looking out over your fields. Imagine what your fields look like right before you. And you're feeling a little bit worried. You live under foreign imperial occupation. Rome is currently in charge, and the taxes are getting higher and higher and higher. And as you look over your fields, you're not sure if the crop this year is going to make enough money to pay the taxes, much less feed your family. Over the hill, you can see your neighbor's land, but actually, you know this land doesn't belong to your neighbor anymore. Your neighbor is still farming the land, but farming the land for somebody else. Because last year, your neighbor couldn't pay the taxes. So your neighbor had to sell the land that had been in his generation in his family for generations to pay the taxes. But now this year, he has to pay so much to the landowner, he's still not going to have enough to pay the taxes this year, and he's not going to have enough to pay for his family. You are worried. As you're standing there and you're looking out the door at your land, your wife is in the kitchen. And she's making the bread like she usually does. She's taking a piece of sourdough starter, this leaven, and she's mixing in the flour. And as she does, she's looking at you, looking out the door, and she's worried too. Because she sees that there's less and less money. She knows there's less and less flour. And every single day, she's making a smaller loaf of bread. Your wife calls out to you, "Hey, honey. I was chatting with Martha in the market yesterday, and she was telling me about this traveling teacher that is getting a really, really big following." And you say, "Yeah, you know what? I was talking to our neighbor too. Our neighbor was talking about how this teacher has been healing people, supposedly, and delivering them from evil spirits. And some people are saying that this teacher is a prophet, and I've even heard people saying that he might be the Messiah." You wonder if it's true. Your wife says, "Yeah, but I've heard that he's making our rabbi very angry because he's saying blasphemous things about God." And as you're staring out over the land and you're wondering about this prophet, this teacher who's been traveling around town. You look over and you see a whole bunch of people walking down the road towards the lake, and your neighbor is there, the one who had to sell his land. And he says, hey, that teacher that I was telling you about, he's down at the lake and he's teaching right now. And you know what? I think this is the Messiah. I think this is the one that is going to free us from Roman occupation and get us our land back. This seems too good to be true. So you have to go and see it for yourselves. So the planting of your crops can wait for later. Your wife is done mixing up the dough, and now it just has to rise. So you head down to the lake with the crowd. And as you get there, this teacher named Jesus of Nazareth is standing in a boat because the crowds are so big on the shore, and he is teaching the people already. And this is what you hear him say. Let's turn to Matthew 13, verses 31 to 35. Keep imagining that you're the farmer and his wife standing on the shores of that lake. He, Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we simply pray this morning that you would open the eyes of our heart through this story. We want to see you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. You're the farmer and his wife. You've heard that this teacher, this Jesus of Nazareth, has been healing people. You've heard that maybe he's a prophet. And some are speculating that he might be the Messiah, the one who's going to overthrow Rome. So what are you thinking when you're standing there on the shore and you're hearing him tell these stories about seeds and bread making, which was woman's work? I wonder if you'd really think that this is the one who is supposed to save all the people. My guess is probably not. So, that farmer and his wife hear Jesus. They don't think he's that great. They go back to their fields because the seed still has to be put in for the year and the bread still has to be baked. So, you, the farmer, are now walking through your fields and you're tossing the seeds the way that farmers usually planted their seeds in the day. And as you're tossing the seeds, you hold one in your hand. And you're thinking about Jesus saying, the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God, is like a mustard seed. And you're thinking about how small this seed is. And then you're remembering that Jesus was talking about bread making. In our reading today, it said yeast, but a better translation is leaven. It's the sourdough starter. It's that small lump of dough that your wife would take off of the bread dough every single day, set it aside so it can continue fermenting from the natural yeast in the air to be added to the next day's batch. The kingdom of God is like that leaven, that fermenting lump of dough. Very small, but it's going to result in a whole bunch of delicious bread. So is Jesus saying something about the kingdom of God being small, small like a mustard seed, small like the leaven, but getting bigger? You wonder. And you continue throwing the seeds in your field. And as you do what you normally do, what you were taught to do by your rabbi. You recite scripture in your head. There's some scriptures that often come to mind as you're tossing out your seed because they're stories about farming. And this one from Isaiah 55 comes to mind. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Wait a second. Seeds and bread. And now you begin to wonder, was Jesus talking about Isaiah 55? And so you go back and you think about the rest of that passage that says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And you're remembering that your rabbi taught that this was all about the kingdom of God, and Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will never fail. It will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Nothing will stand in its way. Huh. So is Jesus saying something about the kingdom of God is small, like a mustard seed or like leaven, but it won't be stopped? Nothing is going to get in its way? But then you wonder, there's something weird about what that Jesus said. He said that the mustard seed is going to grow and it's going to turn into a tree and it's going to be so big that the birds of the air are going to come and flock to it and land in its branches. But everybody knows that there's no such thing as a mustard tree. Mustard seeds only grow into shrubs. They only grow into bushes. There's never been seen a mustard tree before. This Jesus is nuts. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And so you go about the rest of your day. But there's something about Jesus that you just can't shake. Now, if you were here last week, I talked about how Jesus told these stories to open people's eyes and ears to the reality of the kingdom right before them. And in order for the stories to be effective, he would have used details from their everyday regular lives, like planting seeds and making bread. And the reason why he did this is because every time a farmer was in contact with seeds, which was very often, and every time the woman would be in the kitchen cooking the bread, which was every single day, they would be thinking about Jesus. And they would be thinking about the kingdom of God. And so based on this, we're going to assume that that farmer and his wife allowed their eyes to be opened slowly and their ears to slowly be unplugged, and they reached some natural conclusions that Jesus would have intended. And we're going to look at this. God's kingdom looks small now, but it's already here and is still coming in its fullness. The kingdom of God looks small now, but is already here and is still coming in its fullness. So let's start with God's kingdom looks small now, and let's jump from the first century to 2023, to today, where seeds are still very, very important. If Jesus was telling this story to us today, he might still talk about seeds, and here's why. When you think about seeds, I wonder if this comes to mind. This futuristic-looking building on a mountain in Norway, heavily, securely fortified, full of the best technology in the world. This is the Svalbard Global Seed Vault in Norway. It has the capacity to hold 4.5 million seeds. It has been said of this place that it's like a giant safety deposit box storing 13,000 years of agricultural history. Once you enter into those doorways, if you're allowed in, you would see this inside, a really, really long hallway. And inside are three separate chambers, each of them holding the seeds that are sealed up in containers. Now, the reason why this seed vault is where it is number one, it's far away from international conflict and war. And number two, it is buried in the permafrost. If something happens and the power fails, the seeds are still going to remain frozen and therefore viable. Why is so much energy and attention and security and technology spent on preserving these seeds from all over the world? Well, in an era when biodiversity is threatened due to climate change and industrial farming practices and wars around the world, these seeds are crucial to the future of food security. If something happened, if the worst case scenario happened on our planet, these seeds will ensure that human life will continue. As I was researching this seed bank in Norway, I came across this story in a Time article. And it was talking about how some of the seeds in that seed vault are from St. Petersburg Research Center in Russia. As the story goes, in the Leningrad siege of 1944, a whole bunch of scientists barricaded themselves in a room with a whole bunch of seeds. The reason why is because they were protecting those seeds from the hungry population. Even though people were coming and knocking on the doors because they were so hungry, because those seeds were things like rice and grain, those scientists kept the doors blocked. Reportedly, some of those scientists died of starvation, and one of them even died surrounded by bags of rice. They were willing to sacrifice themselves because they were so certain of the seeds' ability to save the people when the war was over. Seeds are very, very important. When Jesus was saying the kingdom of God, God's reign and his rule is a seed, he's saying this might look small and significant now, but we know this contains the potential and the promise and the power to save us, to feed us, to nourish us. God's kingdom, his reign, and his rule is going to be the answer to everything, even though it looks small and insignificant now. He's also saying that, or what we would see based on this story, is that just like those scientists would die, would sacrifice themselves to save that seed, Jesus is going to die, is going to be the sacrifice to save all of us for the sake of the kingdom. But we'll get to that in a second. So Jesus is saying in his parable, the kingdom of God is small, but he's also saying the kingdom of God is already here. The seed is already there. The leaven is already there. The kingdom of God was in their midst, even though they look around and it looks like Rome is in charge. And in fact, the kingdom of God is in our midst, even though we might look around in the world and it doesn't look like God is in charge. Does it? Well, we know that the kingdom of God is present because we can see the signs that the kingdom of God is present. Now, I'm going to tell another story, this time about bread. When I was little, my dad worked shift work at a pulp mill. He would work 2 days on, or sorry, 2 days, two nights, and then he'd have 4 days off. And so when I was really little, I had no idea what my dad's schedule was. I had no idea when I woke up in the morning if my dad was in the house. Was he sleeping? Was he gone at work already? Had he just gotten home? I had no idea, but there were a couple of signs that would alert me to his presence. And one of them was this. Every so often, very, very early in the morning when it was still dark, I would wake up smelling something delicious in the air. It was my dad cooking one eyes. Now, I thought one eyes were something that was specific to my family, but I was talking about it with some people on the staff, and apparently other people know about one eyes. They call them frog in the hole or toad in the hole or egg in the hole, and it's just this piece of bread. You butter it on both sides. You cut a square or a hole out of the middle. You put it in a frying pan, and you crack an egg in the middle. You fry it up, and you take that little tiny square of bread, and you fry that up as well, and that was always my favorite part. A sign that my dad was home was when I woke up smelling one eyes. This was the sign of his presence. We know that the kingdom of God is here when we see the signs of God's presence, our Father in heaven's presence, in our midst. Let's take a look at what Jesus said about the yeast. Now, I usually read from the NIV version of the Bible, the New International Version of the Bible, but I think that the ESV does a better job of translating what Jesus said about the text. So let's look at the ESV, the English Standard Version, for verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, that's that sourdough starter, that the woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Hid in. That's an interesting way to talk about it, isn't it? She hid in the flour. Now, that word hid in the original language was encrypto. Encrypto. Sounds a little bit like encryption or crypt, doesn't it? It means to put into, to conceal, to intermix, to hide away. The flour is concealed in the leaven. The flour is intermixed with leaven. The flour is hidden away in the leaven. If the leaven is the kingdom of God, then the kingdom of God is not concealed. The kingdom of God is not hidden. We see this again in the very, very last verse of our reading today, where that verb encrypto shows up again. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden. I will utter things encrypto since the creation of the world. There is something about the hiddenness of God's kingdom that is being fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Think about that leaven. The flour is hidden in the leaven. It is mixed thoroughly with the leaven. But there's a sign that the leaven is working. We know that the leaven is doing its job when the dough begins to rise. There is a sign that the leaven is at work. When we are added into the kingdom of God, when we allow God's rule and reign to touch every part of our life, when we are fully mixed in, there are signs in our life that the kingdom of God is present as well, like the dough rising. How do we know that the kingdom of God is here? We look for the signs. One of the signs is right here. When we gather together week after week after week, worshiping God and receiving his word and the message, we are a picture of the kingdom of God. We are a sign of the kingdom of God alive in our midst. When somebody is baptized, which happened in the first service today, you'll see a video in a second, that is a sign of the kingdom of God, God's reign and rule in our midst. When we come together every second Thursday, some of us, at the food bank, and we give food to people who are having a little bit of a hard time, that is a sign of the kingdom of God in our midst. When you go home today and you go into your job or your school and you choose certain things because of Jesus in your life, he's making a difference and actually changing the way you live, the very quality of your life. This is a sign of the kingdom of God in our midst. When you experience the peace and the joy and the love and the freedom, the healing from trauma, the freedom from addictions, all of these things, when Jesus does this in our life, this is a sign of the kingdom of God in our midst. The kingdom of God is all around us. The signs are undeniable. And as we see these signs of the kingdom of God in our midst, we know that these are signs pointing to something that's coming. The kingdom of God is still coming in its fullness. And when Jesus was talking about seeds, the seed actually isn't the point. The leaven isn't actually the point. It's what the seed is going to grow into. It's what the leaven is going to do when the flour is added and it turns into bread. The signs of the kingdom of God are a foretaste of what is coming. So let's close this message and put ourselves back in the place of that first century farmer and his wife. Imagine that the day is done. You've planted all the seeds. You're tired. You go in and you wash up and you sit down at the dinner table and your wife puts that loaf of bread down for you guys to eat for dinner. You're sitting in silence because you're actually both thinking about that teacher, that Jesus of Nazareth. And your wife finally breaks the silence as she breaks the bread. And she says, you know, I've been thinking about what Jesus said, about the leaven and the flour. And Jesus actually said that there were 3 measures of flour added into the leaven. That's like 60 pounds worth of flour. That's enough to feed at least 150 people. I think Jesus is talking about a feast. The kingdom of God is a feast. And you say, you know, I was thinking about something too. First, I thought that Jesus was kind of crazy. He was talking about the mustard seeds growing into a bush or growing into a tree and birds come and flock to its branches. And we know that this isn't the way that mustard works. But I got thinking about a story that I heard at synagogue a couple weeks ago. You know, our rabbi was talking about Daniel. And friends at Redwood, if you were here in the fall, you might remember this story too. So the farmer says, you know, that story about Daniel, where Daniel has this dream, and in this dream, this giant tree grows up. And birds from all over the place come and flock to its branches. And then the tree is cut down. And remember how the rabbi said the tree represented Babylon, the foreign, oppressive, imperial power that was oppressing all of the people. And remember how the tree was cut down, and the rabbi said that's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God will prevail. And eventually, every nation will come under the reign and rule of God. Do you think that Jesus was saying something about the kingdom of God being like this miraculous mustard plant that turns into a tree that replaces the tree of Babylon, and all the birds are going to come to that tree? Is he talking about the end of oppression? And you look in your wife's eyes, and they're filling with tears, and she's got hope and wonder and awe in her face. And she says, could this Jesus really be talking about the kingdom of God, where there's going to be feasting and no more tears and no more sorrow and sadness, no more oppression? Could it be that God's reign and rule is beginning now, and it's going to lead to that heavenly feast and that tree of life in the new heaven and the new earth? Now, we know in 2023 that Jesus has already walked the earth. He already went to the cross. He already rose again. He already ascended into heaven. He's already sent his Holy Spirit to us, the people in his church, his Spirit that is the presence of the kingdom right here in our midst. And we know that because of this, God's reign and rule is active now, but we also know that this isn't the end. There's more to come. This is just a small picture of what is coming. The feast is coming. The tree of life is coming. In other words, Jesus is coming back. And when he does, it will not be small, and it will not be hidden. And those who choose to be leavened by the flour, leavened by the leaven of the kingdom, where all of our life comes under the rule and reign of God, we will be at that heavenly feast. And those of us that allow the seed of the kingdom to be planted deep in our hearts, we will be in that new garden city. The kingdom of God might look small, but it's already here, and it will come in its fullness. Let's pray. Jesus, we open our hearts to you. Like leaven that the flour is adding into, Jesus, infuse our whole lives with your presence. Help us to fully come under your rule and your reign now in all of our lives. We pray that your kingdom would be evident in our individual lives, and even more so when we come together as your church week after week after week. Open our eyes and our ears that we will see the signs of your kingdom all around us. And Jesus, we pray, come back. Usher your kingdom in. Let us see the fullness. We long to see you face to face. And we pray these things in the powerful, matchless name of Jesus that will never fail. Amen.